Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, sir.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Boy, you sound as enthused as most folks sitting at Huntington Bank Field yesterday.
You're about where we are.
I was trying to go with the low, sultry voice. By the way, I don't think you're getting a Kevin Stefanski.
No, I was just gonna, today. Yeah, I just got the media schedule too, Scott. I did not know of that until now.
All right, what's the deal?
So there will be no Stefanski today. Tomorrow he will speak at 11:45 with select players available via Zoom.
Which the Saturday schedule messes with, right? So that's the deal?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really nice of the NFL to drop that on the Browns. Hey, it's gone so well. We're going to put you on national television on a Saturday.
He's 18.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, there is that too.
That's the spread that Sister Mary of the Poor and Lonely has when they go against Alabama in week one.
Yeah, it's a big NFL spread, I'll tell you that.
Yep. So now I'm going to ask a question that's going to sound as stupid as I expect it to sound. Are the Browns as bad as they have played the last couple of weeks? Or is this just the end of a really bad season?
I think it's more of bad to or end to a really bad season. I'll also say, when you get terrible quarterback play, everything looks bad. So I know that they haven't been close, and I think it's the last five games. They've lost by 9 points or more, or whatever that number is. They haven't felt like that to me, because I think the defense is played pretty well and kept them in games. You look at that Chiefs game, look at yesterday, even in Cincinnati, the defense, it was 14-0 early, and then defense played really well for a while until that late touchdown. But when your offense can't score and your quarterback keeps turning it over, everything looks terrible. So I would say maybe the offense is as bad as it looks, but I don't think the overall team is as bad as it has looked over the last few games.
All right, Scott, I'm going to ask you the same question I feel like we've been asking for, 25 years? Is that where we're at now? 25 yeah. Since I've come back? Who's quarterbacking on Saturday?
That's a good question. I'm going to go Bailey Zappe. Nobody's told me that. I could see it being DTR. I don't think it's going to be Jameis Winston, given the shoulder, given that he was benched, what have you. But I've seen enough of Dorian Thompson-Robinson that I don't think you need to see him start another game, and maybe you give Bailey Zappe a shot. So that's where I'm leaning, but I wouldn't be stunned if they just ride it out with DTR either.
I was going to say, do you throw DTR out there just to, for lack of better terminology, ensure the tank?
You know what? I hate that idea. And I'm not saying that thought hasn't gone through their heads. I don't know if it has or not. I would not rule it out. But I think that's just a terrible way to think as an organization. You know, I'm watching all this stuff today about, you know, how the Giants killed themselves with that win yesterday. I just think that's a terrible mentality. If you try to win games, I think it's not fair to Myles Garrett and Joe Bitonio and Rodney McLeod, who are killing themselves out there, to say, yeah, we're just going to put a guy out there that we think gives you the best chance to win. The best chance to lose. I just think that's a terrible mentality to have as an organization. So that would not be the deciding factor for me. Maybe it would be for the Browns.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. Myles Garrett has made some comments the last couple of weeks about wanting to know, you know, what's the plan to win? What's the plan? What do you think he wants to hear?
I think he wants to hear that they're not going to trade or cut good pieces, whether that's a Denzel Ward or a, you know, I think you could probably throw David Njoku on that list. Jack Conklin, you know, there's a way you can cut Jack Conklin and save some salary cap space, but you're also cutting one of your better players. I think Myles Garrett wants to hear that that's not the plan. Probably as important or more important is what they're going to do at quarterback. And it can't just be, you know, Deshaun Watson. It's got to be something else. And I don't think the Browns can tell him during the exit meeting Sunday that this is the guaranteed plan, because there's too many moving pieces across the league. But they can say, okay, here's our options. And it's Kirk Cousins. It's Cam Ward. It's J.J. McCarthy if he becomes available in trade. It's Russell Wilson. And give him the list of guys and say, we're, you know, as a team, they're going to go after this list of guys. And they're not going to just rest on, you know, Watson and bringing back Jameis or whatever it is. That they have a plan in place to try to upgrade the most important position in football. And then probably third would be, we're going to give you a giant contract extension. And I think that would be enough to convince Myles to stay.
All right, you just mentioned a name that came up here at the station yesterday, and that was J.J. McCarthy. And he is sitting in Minnesota right now, was expected to be the starter this year, and then was hurt out for the year with a knee injury. Sam Darnold goes in and puts up a great case to be the MVP in the league, let alone be re-signed in Minnesota. What do you think happens with Darnold? And if they re-sign him, do they move on from McCarthy? And what would it take to get him?
Yeah, it's a fascinating discussion.
Sure is.
Yeah, I think if you're Minnesota, I think you have to keep Darnold.
Wait, how could you not, Scott, right?
I mean, the only scenario I'm thinking of is, let's say they lose next week to Detroit, and then they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, and Darnold plays poorly in both games. And the lasting impression is, okay, you know, he got us here, but in the biggest moments, he didn't play his best. And then you could talk yourself into turning it over to J.J. McCarthy. I still don't love that, because Darnold's played so well. I don't know if they give him a long-term extension. You could franchise him and then go year by year and decide if he, you know, if he plays well for another year, then okay, then he's the guy. Even if you do sign him to an extension, you know, then I think the option is there to trade McCarthy. I don't think it's a guarantee. You know, you're not paying McCarthy much money, so he could sit there, and if Darnold gets hurt, we've seen guys get hurt. But also, he's a crazy valuable asset. McCarthy would be if you lock up Darnold long term. And you could get, I mean, I think you could get the Browns, let's call it the third pick in the draft. You probably get that for J.J. McCarthy. And you can do a lot of stuff with the third pick. So I do think that's a really viable scenario, that if they lock up Darnold long term, that McCarthy could be available.
Scott Petrak joining us. Chronicle Telegram is where you can read him. Of course, BrownZone.com as well. It seems like, Scott, everybody is kind of lining up trying to hope for the, you know, to hear the plan of Myles Garrett. I mean, Denzel Ward mentioned it. Joe Bitonio mentioned it as well. I'm pretty sure if I turned, you know, we could grab any phone caller at this point and they'd be like, yeah, I'd love to hear this plan on top of it. I just don't know which direction this plan is in a draft coming up of quarterbacks that every person who watches it are saying, hey, these guys probably need to sit for a little bit longer. And Cleveland has always had such a great reputation with sitting quarterbacks for a full year and letting them develop.
Yeah, it would certainly be much easier if, you know, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels are sitting there and you just said, he's the guy, Miles, and you know, we're going to turn over our franchise to this promising rookie. That would make it easier, and Miles probably wouldn't even need to hear a plan. But that doesn't seem to be the case, and I haven't studied these draft-eligible quarterbacks. Maybe the Browns fall in love with one, and that's an easy plan because then he's cheap, and you don't have to sacrifice your roster, and you're already paying, you know, you got all the cap money tied up in Watson, and it just makes it easier. Just like a Kirk Cousins signing would make it easier because you're paying them the veteran minimum, right? Like that fits with where the Browns are from a salary cap perspective. But if you love the guy, yeah, then you draft him high. If you're in that spot, if you don't love him, then it's questions. Do you wait and draft a guy later and hope you hit on somebody? Then you also have to go get somebody, whether it's a trade or free agency. So that does make the plan more difficult. If you're trying to explain it to Miles, I think it's more about a commitment and not a rebuild. And, you know, the fact is if they're going to rebuild, Miles will probably be the first piece they trade. So if he gets the guarantee that, hey, we're not trading you and we're going to try to win in 2025, which is what he wants to hear, I think that would be enough. But, yeah, it's not easy. And it might have to be a little piecemeal. And you hope you find that quarterback off the scrap heap, like a Sam Darnold, that winds up changing everything about your organization.
And we'll be talking about guys like that until free agency starts on March 12th. So that's going to happen. At the owners' meetings, Jimmy Haslam made the comment to Jeremy Fowler, we do, in regards to, do you think you have the right people in place? And then he said, but, you know, we'll reevaluate at the end of the season. I think it's a tougher sell for him as an owner to bring everybody back than it would be to make changes. What do you expect next week?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that from a perception standpoint, like 3-13 or 3-14. That's hard to sell. I know the fans are incredibly frustrated. The drop from where they were last year with the 11 wins in the playoff appearance to now is startling and really upsetting for the fans. Having said that, I think the Haslams are leaning toward continuity. And I believe Jimmy when he said that to Jeremy a few weeks ago, and I know that it's been bad since. I'm not sure it's been bad enough for him to change or for them to change their minds. But I wouldn't guarantee right now that either or both of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry return. I do think the Haslams have a decision to make, and that's what happens when you have this kind of a season. Those tough decisions need to be made. And then it's, if you keep them, how do you convince everybody that that's the right move, or try to convince people that that's the right move? Because then there's not going to be the excitement, you know, all those things, right? When you're coming off this season, now maybe they figure out a quarterback and that generates some excitement and, you know, new season always does, but it's going to be hard. And it would be a long off season with a lot of difficult conversations. Especially if you bring back Deshaun Watson, who we know a lot of people don't even like that idea that he's going to be back in this uniform next year or has the potential to be back in this uniform next year. So I agree that there would be a jolt if you shake things up, but I'm not convinced that that's the way that they're going to go.
Can you have one without the other? Like, can you have a Kevin Stefanski without an Andrew Berry? Can you have an Andrew Berry without a Kevin Stefanski?
That's a great question.
I think you can. I do not think that they're a package deal. I think it's easier to have an Andrew Berry without a Kevin Stefanski because GMs, you know, stay and new coaches come. I think it's tougher when you, for lack of a better word, saddle a new GM with a coach, unless you have that perfect fit, somebody that Kevin knows and they would work together. And you can maybe match up their contracts so they are together. I think you could do either. You know, keep one and get rid of whichever, you know, combination you want to go there. But I think it gets trickier when you try to do that, and especially if the coach is the guy you keep.
And if you bring both guys back, well, tenuous might be not strong enough of a word to describe their position going into the next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, right? It's difficult. You know, you talk about the hot seat. You would certainly think that Kevin Stefanski would be on the hot seat if he came back next year following whatever, three or four wins. But he was kind of on the hot seat going into 2023, you know. They had, whatever, they had 1-2 years left on their contract. It's like, okay, they're coming off two seasons without making the playoffs. And then, you know, he has an outstanding year as a coach, and they win 11 games with all those quarterback issues and all those injury issues, which, if they keep them, is why they keep them, because you can point to just a year ago when they exceeded expectations so much given all the circumstances. So that's why I don't think it's an easy decision for the Haslams. To me, I think Kevin Stefanski deserves to return. I know it hasn't been good this year, and I know the coach, you know, is responsible, you know, for the bottom line is wins and losses. But I think there's plenty of reasons why they lost, and they're not all Kevin Stefanski. And I think I've seen him be a really good coach throughout his tenure. I think it's a tougher argument with Andrew Berry, given the misses in the draft and the misses in free agency. And where the roster stands. And then you're saying, okay, you got to go rebuild this thing with a top five pick and you got salary cap issues. I think that's a more difficult sell than bringing back Kevin Stefanski.
Do you move on from Ken Dorsey then?
I think there would be significant coaching changes. I just don't know. You can't go 3-14, and I'm assuming they lose, right? So 3-14 and keep complete status quo. Like, I don't think anybody would go for that. I don't think Kevin Stefanski would want that. I don't think Andrew Berry would want that. So I would certainly think Ken Dorsey, you know, your offensive line coach Andy Dickerson, even Bubba Ventrone, you know, those guys would be, I think, on the hot seat. They would be in trouble for keeping their jobs. Who knows? Does Jim Schwartz want to come back for a third season?
Yeah.
Do they start something fresh there? Like, you could see significant change, which, you know, eats away at the continuity a little bit, but you just can't run it back after going 3-14.
Scott Pedrak joining us, brownzone.com. I think it's safe to say, I think it's the case, the best draft choice that Andrew Berry has made is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And we're not hearing much of anything other than he's visiting doctors. Is he going to play again, Scott?
We don't know that, Jeff. I mean, if we knew that, I think we'd been told that by now. The fact that Jason Tarver, the linebacker's coach, on Friday said, you know, he's in good spirits, he's not hurting, and, you know, we wish him the best when he's scheduling all these doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
Means he's still, you know, meeting with doctors. And, you know, I don't know this, the Browns haven't said much. I've not seen JOK since the injury. But that's a serious injury, right?
Sure is.
The neck, you saw it compress when he collided with Derrick Henry. So is he looking for a doctor that gives him the okay to come back? Is it just a matter of every so often you got to go check again to see whatever it is in your neck or your spine that you need to see to get that clearance? You know, do they talk about kind of some surgery that either makes you able to come back or ends your career, right? Because you don't want to risk, if you have surgery, then you can't risk, you know, another hit to the neck. So I think all those things are on the table when you have a neck injury. But certainly no one's willing to say right now or ready to say right now that he's not coming back. But nobody's saying that he certainly is coming back either.
We will listen for your questions in Kevin Stefanski's press conference tomorrow.
I'll be there.
Thanks, buddy. Golf simulator today.
There you go.
That's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.